Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Mareplan USA Training Center. My name is Mike McDonald, National Sales Director, and want to welcome you to the call here tonight. Man, we're fired up and excited as always. We always strive to bring information to you that can help you expand your income to match your dreams. Of course, the alternative to that is to shrink your dreams to match your income, and obviously that's no fun. So, we're on a crusade here. We're trying to put together a program that's going to go coast to coast, border to border, and we're just a few short weeks from launching a brand new addition to our product line, and we're fired up and excited about it, and that's one of the things that I'm excited about to call tonight, because we have a guest online with us that has got some powerful stuff to share with us, a whole paradigm shift in probably what you've been taught in the previous lives as far as approaching people, talking to people, your success, especially when it comes to recruiting, because that's the name of the game, is bring more people, but not just necessarily more people, but also the right people into your circle and on the bus with you, and help with this crusade that we have across America to help every family across America to have affordable health care. And so it all starts with knowing what to say, when to say it, but most importantly, in how to say it. And we have a young man online with us here tonight that's, background is probably just as average as anybody out there. He refers to himself as a computer nerd who, had never done sales work, never done network marketing before, and self-taught himself the do's, the don'ts, the wins, the hows. So we're excited to have Carl online with us here tonight, CEO of a company called BizWare. So, Carl, welcome to the call.
Mike, it's my pleasure to be with you today.
And as always, we appreciate the time people spend with us here on the call, and we've had a chance to chat a little bit, and I was read, I guess I could call it an article that you put out in reference to interpersonal networking. Now, how in the world did you come up with a topic like that, Carl?
You know, Mike, it's interesting. As you said, my background is pretty typical, I think, of just regular blue-collar America. I was a programmer analyst and working in a computer company that I helped found a few years back, and I was introduced to network marketing. And when that occurred, I thought that it would probably be a pretty simple thing to do, but I didn't know anything about it, and so I went out and made most of the mistakes that everyone else makes. But along the way, because I'm a computer kind of guy, I took a lot of notes, and I wanted to make it my purpose to succeed no matter what, and so I got myself into a feedback loop trying to figure out what was working and what wasn't. And what wasn't working was me, because I didn't have any real relationship skills. Most of my relationships were within 6 inches of a computer screen. I could email people easily enough, but I didn't have a lot of social interaction. I wasn't a particularly glib person. It's hard for me to strike up a relationship with somebody. I get into a room full of people, a lot of networkers, they get excited. I get nervous. And so the article was really an outgrowth of several years worth of my own personal development, which led me to the second highest spot within the company that I was working at the time. I did that faster than anybody else got there, a level called Double Diamond, and went on to be routinely year after year the top recruiter in our company. And I don't say that to impress you at all, but just to kind of impress upon you that recruiting doesn't mean that you're particularly good looking. I'm not. It doesn't mean that you're particularly glib, because I'm not. It doesn't mean that you're slick, because I certainly wasn't. And while there are really successful people that might fit those traits, I found that the best way to do this business is to do what's natural, and that's to be personable. And so I believe that there was time for a new paradigm in network marketing. In fact, if you think about it, there's really two types of marketing, what I'll call the new paradigm in network marketing, interpersonal networking, and the old traditional marketing paradigm. If you guys have a pen and paper with you, what I'd like you to do is kind of follow along with me. I'm going to ask you to draw a diagram. It's going to make this really easy to understand. In fact, if you were to take a pen and you were to draw a triangle on a piece of paper, and just go ahead and draw one if you're actually working along with me, and you were to draw four lines horizontally through that triangle, you're going to have five boxes. And this is a traditional marketing model, and I want to just talk about this briefly for a second. If in that first box we were to label that top of the triangle, maybe the top of the pyramid, and we call that little box at the top building rapport. If you just write to the right or left of it, build rapport. That's how you get started in traditional sales, traditional marketing. You spend a very small amount of time getting to know somebody. Hey, Mike, happy to sit down with you. How's your day going today? Great. Can I get you a cup of coffee? Good. And you're usually immediately ready to jump into the next step. And by the way, just to put this in perspective, the triangle we've drawn, that represents the total amount of time that we're going to spend actually interacting with an individual as we share our particular program, your opportunity, or your product. And what we've done is we've divided that triangle of time up into five different steps. And as you go down the triangle, you see you're going to spend more and more time. So we spend the smallest amount of time building rapport. And then the next layer down, if you will, in this triangle, I like to call gathering information. So Mike and I sat down. I asked if he'd like a cup of coffee. So Mike, you know, why don't you just share with me a little bit about yourself and what brought you here? And I might even go on to ask, are you more interested in learning about our product, or are you more interested in learning about our business opportunity? Because sometimes people only want to hear one niche or another. And this is how I was taught to do network marketing. You don't want to put too much on them, but you want to get a general sense of where people are going. The third step is the presentation phase of any conversation or dialogue that you're going to have with a prospect. And so you build rapport, you gather little information, you're going to go into your presentation. If you're like I was, your presentation consists of breaking out a little corporate profile and stepping people through. Let me tell you about our company, its founders, how it got started, how great we are, the products that we have, why they save people's lives, or how they help you have a better life. And there's a financial opportunity here too if they went in that direction. We just kind of touch on everything. So that when I get to the fourth step, that's the qualify, I'm done speaking. And when I go to qualify, I say, so Mike, what did you think about Ameriplan? How do you feel about what I've presented? And what I would consistently hear when I took this approach is, well, gosh, it sounds kind of interesting, but I've got a few questions. And usually what I was taught was to get them on a three-way call, get them on a belief-building call, get them into a business briefing, get them in front of the next person I can to take their belief up a level and hopefully close them. And so during that qualifying period, I'd say, well, you know what, Mike, it sounds to me like you've got a few concerns. What I'd really like to do is schedule a call with my upline, Jack Smith. He's a really sharp individual, somebody I think you'll enjoy talking to. When would be a good time? And so now I'm chasing him. I'm trying to schedule a three-way call. I'm trying to schedule a business briefing. I'm trying to get into his house. I'm trying to do anything I can. And if he's the least bit uncomfortable with the way the process went, I'm getting all kinds of goofy objections that don't add up, and it's just taking more and more and more time.
Well, that is so true, the way all of us are taught in traditional marketing.
Yeah, in fact, the last step, the follow-up, if you think about it, is where you spend the greatest amount of time.
Absolutely.
That's when you're calling Mike back and you're saying, hey, Mike, I was wondering, did you get that brochure I sent over? What did you think? Well, no, I haven't had a chance to read it. Hey, Mike, do you have some time for that three-way call? Well, you know, it's not a good week for me. Hey, Mike, can I get you into a business briefing?
Exactly. We fall on our knees and start begging.
That's exactly right. Well, I know I did, and I got the source to prove it. So, you know, this for me wasn't working. But think about this, folks. It's not just network marketing. It's everything.
Mm-hmm.
You go in to buy a car, they're going to spend about 2 seconds getting to know who you are. They're going to quickly ask you, well, how much money you got to spend? What kind of car are you looking for? Boom, they're going to walk right to the car and just dump features on you like crazy.
Right into the pitch.
They don't know you from Adam. And then, boom, they're going to start trying to qualify the sale. Can we sit down? Maybe we can talk numbers. You doing a trade-in? Let me get my sales manager in here.
Yep.
That's what we all do. Sound familiar?
Yep.
Okay. So what I figured, I looked at that after I diagrammed it the first time. I said, you know what? This is pretty obvious what's wrong here. What we need to do is the same steps, but we've got to change the way we do them just a little bit. So, guys, if you draw another triangle, I want you to draw another triangle, but this time, put the pointy end down. In fact, you could draw it right to the right or left of the first one that you drew. And you can divide it into the same number of steps as you did before.
So this is an upside-down pyramid.
This is an upside-down pyramid.
Yeah.
It's the best kind of pyramid because now what we're going to do is we're going to do the steps in the same order. So right up at the top again, we're going to build rapport. But this time, building rapport, as you can quickly see, we're going to spend the greatest amount of time in the entire dialogue building rapport. And
wow.
Doesn't that make sense?
Absolutely, because you know the key to this whole thing is getting the right people on the bus to begin with.
But you'll find out that all kinds of people can get on the bus. But what I learned about the presentation phase that I didn't understand before was that if you talk to somebody about what you think is important and it's not important to them, it's over.
Yeah.
It really doesn't matter. What they want to hear is what's important to them.
What's in it for me?
So what if there was a perfectly mathematically guaranteed way, just as perfect as geometry is perfect, that would allow you to say exactly what that person wanted to hear? So when it came time to qualify, you're no longer qualifying your company's products or even the business opportunity. Instead, you're qualifying the presentation you gave. And so it goes something like this. You spend all of your time building rapport. Now I'm saying, Mike, tell me a little bit about yourself. Sit down for a moment. Do you mind? Would you like to get a cup of coffee? Can I get you anything to drink? And we start talking about as much as we can, and I stay as personal as long as humanly possible. Once that person has tried to get me off once or twice and is pushing me to go further and start talking about the opportunity, I break out of that phase.
Right.
I stay there as long as I can. And it's an easy thing to do because my body language is relaxed. And now this person's defenses are coming down because I'm not trying to put the press on them. I'm not trying to sell anything. The minute you start trying to sell or promote, people's defenses go up. They're looking for problems. But if you're asking them about their family and their kids, they're not looking for problems. They're talking about the things in their life that matter most.
And they're rolling that guard down at the same time.
Absolutely. So then when you go to step two, gather information, that's where you're going to spend the second greatest total amount of time in my model. And now what you do is you've taken notes. You understand that he's got, I know now that Mike's got two kids and a wife, that he's been working for 20 years at the plant and doesn't have a suitable retirement. I understand that he wants to play golf but doesn't have any time, hopes to send his kids to college, but there's no way he could do it on the savings and the income that he's got. And his daughter would just totally love to go to Disneyland if that would be possible sometime in the next couple of years.
Wow, that's powerful.
So now that I know something about Mike, when I go to gather information, I could do a little qualifying on that. When I say gather information now, I'm not going to ask Mike, what do you want to know about my company? Because he doesn't know anything about my company. Instead, I'm going to ask more questions about what he told me in phase one. Mike, you were talking about...
So you know where your hot buttons are.
Exactly. You talked about your kids going to college. How old are they now? What kind of college do they want to go to? Do you have any idea what that's going to look like? How much that's going to cost? Oh, I see. Great. And Disneyland, have you set a date? Are you going to the West Coast or Florida?
Wow.
Oh, wow. That'd be great. Because you know what? I went to Florida, and not only is there Disneyland, but you got Universal Studios and everything else down there. Absolutely wore me out. Be prepared. Take your vitamins before you go. But what a great time. Your kids are going to love you. They're going to just love you. So, Mike, let me just ask you, what is it you'd like to learn about Ameriplan and what we're doing here? Well, if you could tell me a little bit about the product, how you guys make money, I'd love to hear it. Usually by now, they're very relaxed, and they ask a very relaxed question. And I'll just, as I'm finishing gathering information, I'll read that back to him and I'll say, okay, Mike, so really what's important to you today in the small amount of time I'm sure you have is just to understand a little bit about the product, kind of give you a simple overview. Do you need the details or just an overview? Oh, an overview would be fine. Great. And how we make money. Would that cover it for you today?
Yeah.
Great. All right. Well, let's get started then. And now I go into the presentation phase, which you'll notice, Mike, I spend the same amount of time presenting as I did in the other model. It didn't change. It's still the middle layer. But now I focus my presentation and my dialogue exclusively on those things that you've told me are important to you in the first two steps. I don't talk about anything that I think is important. I don't talk about how great my company's founders are if you didn't say that you needed to know that. I don't talk about how great my products are if you said you wanted to know how we make money. I focus on those things which you've told me as I paint this picture, just jotting a few notes of what's important to you, and I do it in a real friendly way. So that then when I get to qualify, and this is where it's so powerful, this is the most powerful part of the whole thing. When I get to qualify, I no longer say, well, Mike, let me ask you, what do you think about Ameriplan? What do you think about our opportunity? That's not the question I ask because it's subjective. And I'll hear all the time, well, I don't know if it's for me. I don't know if I have enough time. I don't know this. I don't know that. We get into that chase, right?
Right.
Instead, I say, Mike, let me just ask you, did I do a fair job of speaking to those things that you indicated were important to you and that you wanted to talk about today?
Yeah,
and I had yet to have somebody say, no, Carl, you sucked.
Wow, that's powerful.
They immediately say, no, I think you've touched on all the bases. Or they might ask the question. But that now leads us into the smallest amount of time when I could say, well, wow, that's great. Sounds like you're ready to get started. Why don't I pull out the paperwork and give you a sense of what it would take to get your toe in the water and give this a try? Does that feel comfortable to you?
Yeah, sure.
And by now, there's no way they can say no. I mean, some people will say, I got to check with somebody. But you're down to knowing exactly what, if any, objections they have, and you can deal with them. More importantly, you've changed your measure of success. And I think that's what's critical in this whole thing. I could give you strategies. I could give you scripts. Anybody could, all day long. But that's not natural. It's not natural selling. It's not natural dialogue. It's not who we are, and it's definitely not personal.
One of the things I've learned, Carl, is everybody out there hates to be sold, but everybody loves to buy.
Absolutely. And you've got to remember that in this process, Mike, you're buying too. And what you're buying is a relationship.
Yep.
So what I've done is at the beginning of every call, I've made it my purpose that my measure of success will not be whether or not you get in my deal, whether or not you sign up or you buy a product. Instead, the measure of my success is if I have successfully identified an individual that I'd like to have a long-term relationship with. If at the end of the call, I've successfully identified this guy is a good person and I'd like to be his friend and stay in contact with him, whether or not he decides to make a move in my favor and looking at my program, then I've succeeded. I've had success. And that's somebody that I can freely and openly talk to, because, you know, no might not, it's not no, it's not now. You know, that's the key, is when somebody says, I can't do this now, but you've built positive rapport, they're not saying no to Ameriplan or no to you. They're saying no to the timing. And if you've built that successful relationship, you put that person in a long-term follow-up where you're just touching base with them over time, and you're doing so in a friendly way based on the things that he told you were important to you. Hey, you learn that he's big in golf, and you call him up and say, hey, you've been playing golf. Did you see that new driver that Callaway just came out with? Holy cow, I got a hold of one of those. It's the neatest thing in the world. And you start a dialogue, and you build a relationship. Relationships lead to what? Referrals. And so, wow, now I've identified somebody that I like and that I enjoy talking to, so my posture's different. I'm relaxed. They sense it. They realize I'm not trying to get them in a headlock and squeeze them into something they don't want to do. It becomes much more effortless, and guess what? It's completely duplicatable. Because when I tell somebody, all you need to do is find people you like to be friends with and identify those you don't, so you won't waste time on them, and the rest will all happen pretty much automatically.
And what's really cool about this whole thing is you can do it either A, in person at the coffee table, or B, over the telephone.
I think, Mike, we need to do this in every aspect of our lives.
Absolutely.
You know, if we were to just slow down a little bit, take time to build rapport.
Smell the roses.
Yeah. And, you know, smell their cologne and find out why they're wearing it. What is it that makes this person unique, and gather some information about them. You'll find out that the world is a really colorful place with colorful people, and there's a lot to like and a lot of different people's personality types, and they don't all have to be like us for us to develop great relationships with them. But we have to be open to it.
One of the downsides to where we've gone to in the society, you know, with the microwave oven, you know, the home delivery pizza, you know, everything is like Domino's pizza. They want it in 5-15 minutes. And so we've taken the, a different direction in establishing rapport, connecting with people. And the thing I like about what you're presenting here is once you've established a rapport with somebody, Carl, even if they're not ready, time is not right in their life today, they are going to be such a fan of you and what you presented and how you presented it that they will give you referrals like crazy, because they're going to say, you know what, if you're looking for a business, you need to give my friend Carl, because he was telling me the other day this great yada, 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 and that's because you develop such a strong relationship and a rapport with that new person.
Absolutely true. In fact, there's a follow-up article to the one that you read, Mike, that caused you to call me tonight, and that one talks about the reticular activating system, and it's a fancy word that defines a real, actual part of your brain. And if you think about it, it's amazing how the subconscious mind works. Think back to the last time you bought a car. I don't know, what was the last car you bought, Mike?
A Lexus.
And let me just ask you, how long ago did you buy that?
It's been 2.5 years ago.
2.5 years ago. Now, Mike, when you're getting ready to buy that Lexus, before you actually did you suddenly become aware of every Lexus driving by on the road?
Absolutely.
You probably knew where all the Lexus dealers were in town?
I found them more after I bought it than I did before I bought it.
Yeah, well, that can happen, too. Were you aware of all of the various Infinities going around at the time?
No.
Did you notice the Jeeps?
No.
No. You just suddenly became tuned into something that was the dominant thought in your mind.
Yeah, dominant thought on my mind, absolutely.
So if, in fact, we can become the dominant thought on other people's minds because we're there and we're in front of them on a regular basis, real estate companies use this all the time. They call it the 8 and 8. If you make 8 contacts with individuals within an 8-month period, eventually they're going to have a conversation with somebody who is in fact interested in buying a house, or in your case, is in fact looking for a business. You just continue to make 8 contacts over 8 weeks or 8 months, some period of 8, then you will be in their reticular activating system. As soon as they sit down and have a conversation about somebody starting their own business, your name will come up.
Recall.
And you're going to get referrals.
Wow, that's powerful.
And that's how that works. So the key is building strong relationships. If we build relationships, the 3x3 model, the holy grail of network marketing, really could work. I'll tell you that I made more friends in the cold market because I had no friends. All my friends were geeks like me. They wanted to program. They weren't entrepreneurs. I discovered I had an entrepreneurial itch and I needed to scratch it. And I started mailing letters and I did a very successful direct mail campaign. And to this day, a decade after I ran those campaigns, I have people both who participated in my business and those that didn't, that have become friends because I honored this process.
Mm.
So it's just a great way to be, and it breaks down all of the stigma and all of the very bad references to our industry that exist out there. If you can build strong relationships with people and people can like you, then you can be honorable and ethical in what you say. They're going to make the right decision on their own. They'll make the decision that's right for them. Just remember that, you know, some are, some will, some won't, so what, someone else is waiting. Well, add that to this interpersonal marketing paradigm, and you can say, you know, some will now, and some will later, but I won't work with those who won't ever work with me.
Right. Wow.
I'm not going to waste your time.
Yep, that's powerful. That is powerful. You know, one of the biggest problems with networkers, they have a tendency to want to know too much about the product, too much about the compensation plan, and then they just throw up on people, as I call it, with all this stuff. And, you know, when really if they spent that few extra minutes, as you, you know, have said, in establishing the rapport, they'll know exactly what buttons to hit. Explain to us a little bit about your philosophy on, as far as the firm, FROM. How people can be on track by gathering up that information and establishing rapport.
Sure. You know, when I coach this and teach this to organizations, I always tell them that you want to know where somebody's coming from. You know, where are you coming from? Mike, where are you coming from? And what does FROM stand for? It stands for family. Hey, are you married? Mike, are you married?
Right. I'm married with 2 kids.
Yeah? How old are they?
Well, I've got one that's 22 and one that's 18.
22 and 18. So you're about to be an empty nester, aren't you?
Yeah. I'm looking for the grandbabies come up the line here someday.
Well, they don't seem like they're too far off. You got to, are they in college or heading for college?
Both of them are in college, huh?
Wow, congratulations.
Yeah.
You should be very proud. Boys or girls?
Boy, one boy, one girl.
What are their names?
Well, we got Kobe, my son, he's the oldest, and my daughter Jody.
Jody, well, that's a pretty name.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite?
On certain days of the week. No, they're both equally, we just love them to death. They're both great kids.
So how did you meet your wife?
I met her at a jewelry store. I was working in college, and she came in the jewelry store, and we got acquainted, and I called her up and asked her if she'd go out.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah, and we've been married 34 years.
So what do the two of you like to do for fun?
Well, we travel a little bit. We like recreation. You know, we play a little golf and go to the lake a little bit, but
what lake is that?
Here in the Dallas area, we have a Lake Ray Hubbard. We go there, then up at Texoma.
Do you have a boat?
Yeah. Got a boat.
What kind of boat do you have?
It's a houseboat. It's a 35-foot River Queen.
Oh, that sounds like a lot of fun.
A lot of fun. Sleeps eight people. We get out there on the lake, spend the weekend. Kids come down. Some of their friends come down. So we just have a really good time just hanging out on the lake and just relaxing.
We do the same thing here, except we don't have the lake. We got the muddy Mississippi River. Just about 10 minutes from the Missouri and another 20 from the Mississippi, and we've got a boat and dock down there, and we can go on weekend cruises and cruise up the Illinois River. It's just a wonderful way to get away from it all.
Water is very relaxing.
Absolutely. Do you have any other interests that you like?
I golf, and my son's into country music, so we're beginning to get a big interest in following him around and watching his band grow. So.
Oh, he's taking it up professionally.
Yeah, it looks like he might be a country singer.
No kidding.
That's his goal, yeah.
Wow.
And we're going to try to help him, further his education in music, maybe find some way to help him cut a CD, a recording of some kind.
Wow, that sounds so exciting. I had a friend of mine here in St. Louis who actually produced a little indie record, and then he got an opportunity to try out with Sheryl Crow. You might have heard of her. Play guitar for Sheryl Crow, and he turned it down. Wish he had, but good luck to your son.
Well, thank you. It's going to be exciting to watch him grow.
Well, Mike, just share with me, if you don't mind, for a minute, what it is you do for a living.
I'm self-employed. I'm into sales and marketing.
How long have you been doing that?
About 35 years.
35 years, so that's been what you've been doing all your life, I guess.
Pretty much. I went to school, done a few little odd things, trying to figure out what it is I want to do.
What is it?
Retail business, a lot in the retail industry.
So you spent some time behind the counter.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
How'd you like that?
I didn't like that confinement.
Yeah?
I don't like having to work on weekends. I didn't like the retail side of it at all. I like to work weekends and holidays, you know.
The only thing I didn't like about retail is waiting for customers to come to me.
Yeah. That's true. You gotta.
You're behind the counter. Yep. You hope they come through the door. If they don't, there's not a lot you can do.
Yep.
About it sometimes.
Yep. Play checkers in the back room sometimes.
Well, Mike, I appreciate you sharing with me a little bit about yourself. At least allows me to have a sense of kind of who you are, what you do. Is there anything you'd like to know about me before we get started?
Maybe just a little bit about your background and how you got involved with Ameriplan.
So, folks, you see where this went, and that was from. And what we talked about is family, and I asked, was he married, how many children, how long, recreation, what does he do for his free time, what does he do to have fun and relax, O is for any other interests, tell me about that, and M is money, and you don't do money first, you do it last. And what do you do for a living, how long have you been doing that? And I've got Mike to share. I would be willing to bet there are people on this phone call who've been in your organization for some period of time that didn't know many of the things we just talked about.
Absolutely.
Because they never took the time to ask.
Never took the time. That's some powerful recipes right there. That is some powerful stuff.
The goal is to begin a friendship. If you've successfully identified those you would or would not choose to have a relationship with, you have succeeded in every contact you make. And isn't that better than what happens now, which is, hey, I follow up on a postcard, or I follow up on a newspaper ad, or I follow up on a cold market lead, or I follow up in a warm market presentation, and he turned me down. Those outcomes are either success, failure, based on whether or not they came into your business. And that's a little too binary for me. I like to have every one of my contacts be a success. And if I've successfully identified those people I would or would not choose to have a relationship with, then I win every time.
And it almost looks like to me that with this program, you're going to be having people chasing you instead of you chasing people, which is, once you get into this follow-up mode, it's, recall, recall, recall. You never can catch anybody in. And that might be a clue, too, the reason you can't everybody catch anybody in is because you did not take the proper steps in establishing a rapport and connecting with that person.
Yeah, the other thing that rapport does, Mike, that I found is probably one of the most important aspects of follow-up in a cold marketing environment, if you're ever talking to people who don't know you, is that if you take the time to build rapport, you'll automatically get respect. And so if I'm talking to you and you and I have just met for the first time, in fact, we did today by the phone, and I said to you, Mike, I think I would really like to sit down and chat with you a little bit about what we're doing. When would be a good time? If we set an appointment, I could then say to you, Mike, what time would be good for you? You'd say,
around 7 o'clock Thursday.
7 o'clock on Thursday? No, that works for me, Mike. And in fact, I'm going to go ahead and write that down in my planner, make sure I don't forget. And Mike, if you could just do me a small favor, would you mind?
Okay, sure.
If you could also make a note in your planner, and if you find for any reason that that time isn't going to work for you, if you could give me a heads-up call just the day before, it'd allow me to slot somebody else into that schedule, because I like to keep my work hours work and my family hours family, and that's just sort of the way I manage that. Would that be a problem for you?
No, not a problem at all. Let me be sure and get the right number so I can call you in case something comes up.
Absolutely. And I find that my no-shows go down to zero.
Wow.
Because they know I'm serious. They know I took the time to write it down. I've asked them specifically to call me if they can't make it.
Holding them accountable.
I'm holding them accountable. It's they know that I wrote it down. Because a lot of times, sometimes you'll get somebody on the phone, and they'll be, oh, sure, I'll do that. When you say, great, I'm going to write that down so I don't forget, I'll make sure I'm there. All of a sudden, you'll hear the pen and paper come out. Now they're going to take it serious. And then, even if you don't hear from them, I will make a follow-up call the day before. And many times, I'll even have a friend do it and say, I'm just calling for Carl. He asked me just to touch base and let you know that he's going to be on time for the meeting tomorrow, and he looks forward to meeting you. He's going to be on time. How many times do you get a call when somebody says he's going to be on time?
Never.
I always get a call and they say, he's going to be running a few minutes late.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have somebody call that says, Carl's going to be on time and wanted to let you know that he looks forward to meeting with you. Now the person on the other end is going to look not too altogether. They say, well, I wouldn't be on time. In fact, I can't make it because I'm loose as ashes. If that happens, again, you successfully identify somebody you may choose not to do business with, and that's okay too. But you're not wasting your time chasing people around.
Wow, that is powerful stuff, Carl. That is some strong stuff.
Mike, you know what I'd like to do is go ahead. I will forward to you a Adobe Acrobat version of the training in printed form that we kind of went through today on interpersonal marketing, and I would certainly welcome you forwarding that off to members of your team and allowing them to have a printed resource that they might be able to work from if that would be a smell.
Absolutely, Carl. We appreciate that. For all of those who are listening, we're going to do two things. One, those who email me will forward that chart. Plus, we will record this call, and we'll put it up on the Simples ABC website, and we'll have the chart up there as well so you can download it. But if you want to get a sneak preview ahead of time, send me an email to MikeMC@simpleasabc.com, and in the subject line, just put chart. And we will forward Carl. Carl, help me with your last name there so I don't get it wrong.
Carl Krimenacher.
Krimenacher. And
first name.
So just send me an email, MikeMC@simpleasabc.com. In the subject line, put chart. We will forward that to you. And Carl, you got any closing comments you'd like to make to the team?
You know, I would just say that I'm familiar with Ameriplan. I think you guys have an awesome opportunity. You've got a huge and growing market, and in today's economic climate, it really couldn't be better time to act. Now is the time for you guys to act. You're in a wonderful place and time. It's rare the convergence like this occurs, and I would just encourage you to spend the extra hour every day to put just a little more effort in than you had planned, because those who work a little bit harder on a little bit more consistent basis and do that over and over again are going to have significantly better results than those that don't. And I just invite you to do what I did. This isn't rocket science, and some of you may be listening and think that it sounds maybe more difficult than it really is, but if you get yourselves in a feedback loop, you can't fail. And what I mean by a feedback loop is just quite simply do this. Set a goal, any goal. Doesn't matter what your goal is, but write it down. Identify your resources. Make a list of the things you need to have to achieve your goal, whether that's more talent or other resources or the help of your upline or other people that can help you achieve whatever that goal is. And the goal can be a small goal, like I'm going to get 5 new people this week. It could be a big goal. It doesn't matter. Just make sure you've written it down and you've written down a list of what you need. Then write a plan. Plan doesn't have to be even a half a page long, but specifically write down the steps you're going to take to do what you need to do to achieve your goal, and then execute. And while you're executing, stop and pause at an intermediate milestone and say, am I achieving the portion of my goal that I should be by now? If the answer is yes, then go hard and go fast and keep doing it. If the answer is no, you just need to ask one question. Did I execute my plan? If the answer is no, I didn't execute my plan, or I didn't even write a plan, you know where to go back. You go back and you either write the plan if you haven't, or you execute the plan you wrote. If you did execute the plan and you're not getting the results you think you should, then you can just ask the question, am I executing it correctly, or do I need to revise the steps? If you get in that little loop, you'll be able to write articles like I've written and teach members of your growing organization how they can apply skills that you've learned in growing your business. And that's when it all becomes worthwhile. It was a pleasure to be able to spend time with you on the phone tonight. I love sharing what has helped make me and others successful. And it means a lot to me because I learned it through this feedback loop in the School of Hard Knocks, and I hope one day to hear many of you on conference calls teaching others things that you've learned because you've applied this very simple principle, a time-tested principle, to improving yourself and therefore improving your outcomes.
Well, absolutely. You know, if we're green, we're growing. If we rot, we rot. So what a pleasure it is to get more golden nuggets here, because I know I picked up some nuggets here myself. And I tell you what, I'm gonna do exactly what you said, because it just makes total sense. And with where Ameriplan is today, we, you know, as you know, Carl, we're building a crusade across America, and we just need, you know, thousands of people to join us. And this is a great way to establish our sales force, is through these principles and this mindset. So thank you, Carl, for being online with us. And folks, we appreciate y'all being here. As you know, we're here every Wednesday on the call, bringing you good stuff to help you advance your business. So God bless. Take care, everyone. And we'll see you guys down the road. And send me an email out, and we'll get that chart to you. And we're going to close the lines here. Then we'll open back up for any call, any questions that we might have. So thank y'all for being on the call. Bye-bye from Dallas, Texas.